Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, our contact information is always on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it is Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants, as always, standing by. 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll go right to the callers. Calvin first, listening in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Calvin.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing? It's my first time ever listening to you, so I'll just get to it. I lost everything. I lost my business, lost my job, lost my home, lost my family, lost my wife. I lost my faith. And I just want to give up. I don't feel a purpose no more. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pick up the pieces. My brother told me to call you to get some advice on how I can move forward. I'm finding it very difficult right now to express all my feelings right now because I just don't want to break down.
Well, Calvin, I don't have any simple answers to your dilemma. I can tell you this, that you have not lost everything. You are made in the image and likeness of God, and that does not change. And the only one who ultimately can help you in the difficulties of life is God. I mean, your story, as you've just chronicled it, sounds very much to me like what I've read about in the book of Job, something that all of us, quite frankly, fear. And in the midst of his turmoil, Job ultimately did the one thing that we all can do. He placed his faith and trust in God, saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So the one thing that's most significant in all that you said is that you've lost your faith or your trust in God. And I think that ultimately is what will be a turning point for you, to recognize that God will never leave you or forsake you, that if you place your trust in him, though you will not experience of necessity a panacea where everything suddenly will be wonderful, he will help you through the deepest, darkest storms that are yet on the horizon for you. And so I pray that you would put your faith and trust wholly in him. He knit you together in your mother's womb. All the days ordained for you were written in his book before one of them came to be. He loved you so much, he left his estate, as it were, in glory, and emptied himself so that you could be filled with him. And when you are filled with him, though it does not mean that all the earthly possessions come back, that all the loves of your life are restored, it means that you will have peace in the midst of the storm. And as you are transformed, you'll become a transformational agent. Now, I have to confess that it is easy to say what I'm saying. I think it's completely sound. It's based on scriptural principles. But when you're in the midst of the storm that you're in, sometimes it's hard for someone that is not experiencing that to fully grasp what you're going through. And I just want to acknowledge that up front. But I also want to say that the Lord who created you knows your every pain and sorrow. And I can say with a surety, based on his word, that he does have a purpose and a plan for those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. So there's a couple things I can do, the first of which is to pray. Lord, I do bring Calvin before your throne of grace. And Lord, though I feel deep compassion in my soul at this very moment, it pales by comparison to the compassion that you have for Calvin and his circumstances. Lord, I pray that Calvin might fully and truly place his trust in you alone, that he might confess his sins, that he may give thanks for what he does have, the precious gift of life, and for a brother that cares enough to give him counsel. And Lord, even now as I bring Calvin before your throne of grace, I do pray that there are many others that will join me in asking, beseeching you to make him a testimony of your grace, to restore to him the joy of his salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain him. And Lord, I pray that in tangible ways, when we can, we will reach out to the downtrodden and remember that that is the mission of the church and precisely why the early Christians were a testimony to the world. The world looking on saying, see how they love one another and the love of Christ constraining them to come. So Lord, we look at this circumstance not as a serendipitous, random connection of people, but as your divine providence. And we pray that you will answer this prayer joined by many people, not by our might or our power, but by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Calvin, I want you, the second thing, I want you to hang on. I mean, perhaps there's something tangible we can do as well. If you hang on, I'll have one of my associates pick up the phone and spend some time talking to you as well.
I would like that. Thank you so much.
You got it. And there are a lot of people, trust me, that will be praying for you, but we'll see what we can do tangibly as well. Thank you for giving me a call. And look, I think in a broader sense, I mean, we're talking about one person, but there are many people that are hurting all over the world. I have been in places where people are literally digging their endurance out of the mud, their sustenance, as it were. I have seen things with my eyes that simply boggle the mind. And so often in my own cocoon or bubble, we fail to recognize that we are called to be the hands and the feet of Christ to a world that not only needs a loaf of bread and a glass of water, but also needs our love. This is also a reminder of how important the church, the body of Christ, is. None of us can make it on our own. Sometimes our problems are deeply physical and they have to do with our physical sustenance, but sometimes the problems are even deeper still. And so we need the body of Christ. And for those listening in, maybe you'll want to pick up your Bible and read Romans chapter 12 and start to recognize just how important each part of the body is to the other parts of the body. And those that are in good health and things are going well, remember to thank the Lord for it, and also to immerse yourself in the graces whereby we can become by grace what God is by nature, so that we can be filled with Christ, partakers of the divine nature. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. So please don't touch that dial.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Willie listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Willie.
Hey, Mr. Hanegraaff. I had a question. I just recently came into some information about the identity of the Hebrew people, Israelite people. I'm saying that the people in Israel, like Kedars, were converts, and they're from the line of Japheth, from the sons of Noah. And that African Americans in America may be the Israelites of the Bible, and that there was a tribe in Africa called the Lemba who shared the same haplotype of Aaron, the Levites of ancient Israel. Now, my question was to the validity of that, and what does that mean for African Americans in America as it relates to Scripture? And what does that mean for America as it relates to Scripture, if it's true?
Well, first of all, it's not true. And secondly, it has nothing whatsoever to do with African Americans living here in the United States or for the United States from the standpoint of what is going to happen in the 21st century. Now, the one thing that we know biblically is there is no place for racism. And unfortunately, we have these black Hebrew Israelite movements that are quite racist. And they say blacks are Hebrews. But this has nothing whatsoever to do with anything significant. What we ought to say is that if you are a human being made in the image of God and you're found in Jesus Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and you are an heir according to the promise. The Bible doesn't really care about your genealogy. It doesn't care about whether you're male or female. It doesn't care about whether you're poor or rich. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham, and you are an heir to the eternal promises that are given to us in Jesus Christ. So the whole idea of racism is foreign to Scripture, and it ought to be foreign to every thinking Christian.
I don't think it's racist to want to know who you are in a place in a land that's not your own.
That's not what I'm calling racist. What I'm calling racist is the idea that is communicated by black Hebrew Israelite movement people who are very diverse. I mean, there are a lot of different groups, but they say blacks are Hebrew, whites are descended from Gehazi, cursed with leprosy that made them white. Salvation is through obedience to the laws of Moses. And you can look at the various groups like Rastafarianism says the black man is the reincarnation of Israel, the white man is inferior, black men will one day rule the world. Or you can look at some of the racist statements made by Nation of Islam founder Wallace Ford and many others. And I'm simply saying that there is no place for this in a biblical worldview. God does not show favoritism based on your ethnicity. We are all just human beings created in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, we shouldn't make distinctions between ourselves in the sense that I'm communicating. From a biblical standpoint, the real thing that's important is, are you found in Jesus Christ? If you are, you are the royal seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So you don't have to try to figure out what your genealogy is. It might be interesting, but it has nothing whatsoever to do with the biblical worldview, nor does it have anything to do with prophecy. The article that I'm referring to, you can find in the Christian Research Journal. It's called The Origin and the Insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite Movement. Again, find it on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to David. He's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I know that when you're reading the Word, everything has to be in context, but my wife and I struggle against each other. I've been told before that Luke 6:29, where he is talking about when you have to give your coat away, you should always give your tunic. You should give more. And I've been told that that has to do specifically with a judgment. But my wife seems to think it's no. If anyone asks of you of something, that you should always be willing to give away your possessions. Could you shed some light on that, what that means?
Sure, and I think you got to remember that this is found in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. And remember what Jesus is doing in the Sermon on the Mount. He's taking the law and extending the law to its logical consequence, such that it's not just wrong to murder. It is wrong to think an evil thought. And in the end, the takeaway from the Sermon on the Mount is that if you want to be acceptable to God, you have to be perfect. Well, none of us are. So what's the solution to that? Well, there's one who is righteous, Jesus Christ, and if we're found in Him, we can have His righteousness. We can become those who are followers of Christ and those who are redeemed by Christ as well. But in the immediate context of what you're talking about, remember the text tells you, you've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. That's the prologue to what's going on here in the Sermon on the Mount. And then Jesus goes on to say, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, well, turn to him the other also. In other words, don't resist the evil person. Again, this is Jesus speaking, and he goes on to say what you just mentioned. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So Jesus is saying, don't resist an evil person, and he's using prophetic hyperbole. He's pointing to the supremacy of relationship over goods. This is the great inversion, as it were, between the human order and the kingdom of God order. The human order always tells you return harm for harm. The kingdom principle is to return good for evil. The larger context is, am I the kind of person that Jesus is illustrative of? Am I a Christian? Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? And to drive home the point again, Jesus uses prophetic hyperbole.
Okay.
So, you know, you're not going to take the Sermon on the Mount in a wooden literalistic fashion. If you do, you're going to have all kinds of problems, right? I mean, remember, in the same context, Jesus Christ says that if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he's already committed adultery with her in her heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Well, again, Jesus is using hyperbole here. Certainly, it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. But Jesus is not suggesting that you cut off your hand and gouge out your eye. He's saying...
Right, literally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you.
You got it. My pleasure. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brian, who's listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Brian.
Hi. I really enjoy your show. I have a question in regards to Romans 9. Romans 9 really appears to have God is sovereign in electing on whom he'll have mercy and whom he won't have mercy. And, you know, for raising up Pharaoh for this purpose that he could be glorified by that situation. And also the he said, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. It just seems like it's full of a Calvinistic point of view as far as calling, election, and predestination. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think it depends on what eyes you come to the passage with. A Calvinist comes to this passage and thinks that the question being answered is, why do some believe? In other words, why do the Gentiles believe? And why do some not believe? In other words, why did the Jews not believe? And if you read Romans 9 in that fashion, you come up with hard determinism. But I think the real question is, why are some experiencing judgment while others are experiencing salvation and blessing? And the answer is actually given by Paul. The saved pursued salvation by faith and not by works. And therefore, the same stone that caused Zion or Israel to stumble is the source of security, sanctuary, for those who believe. And what Paul's doing here is he's blending texts. And the point is that the Lord is either the cornerstone of our life or the capstone over which we fall. What's really interesting about this passage is the blending of texts. In this case, he's blending various passages, and he does that throughout, particularly Romans chapter 9. You find the text on the potter and the clay. Well, this passage actually comes from something that we're all familiar with if we're familiar with the Old Testament. And if we're familiar with the Old Testament, we understand the context from Jeremiah 18 and Isaiah 29. And therefore, we're not confused about the meaning. It's not meant in a hard deterministic sense. In terms of Pharaoh, remember that mercy was the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, because every time God relented vis-a-vis the plagues, Pharaoh continued in disbelief. And so mercy for those who are repentant, and then judgment for those who continue to rebel. So they're prepared for destruction as the potter would, because that's what they want. Every time God gives them a chance to repent, like Pharaoh, they harden their hearts. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.